Living Springtime from Amazing Love Assembly Enugu with Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu ministering.
Amazing Love Assembly, the 23rd anniversary celebration. The Lord gave us a theme while I was away, and that's what I want to take time to go through. He called it the high cost of the love ministry. The high cost of the love ministry. The high cost of the love ministry. And one of the things, the topic, or rather the theme, the high cost of love ministry, should not puzzle or confuse you or into thinking that there is another Christian ministry outside love. For there is no other basis for any Christian ministry if it is not love born. In fact, a service or the ministry is not born out of love, then there's no ministry there. Like Jesus said, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love is the core of the Christian ministry. Love is the core of the Christian ministry. It is the epicenter of Christian service. For on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In Matthew chapter 22 verse 37, Jesus, our Lord and our Master, had said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For on these all the law is fulfilled." In one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Like he pointed out, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thus, the high cost of the love ministry is all about the high cost of Christian service. There is a price tag to the Christian ministry. There is a price tag to the Christian service. And nowhere is it as pronounced as when love is the anchor of such a service. There is a self-denial. There is a cross to bear. There is the abnegation of ego. There is a stripping and forfeiting of all rights. Thankless labors to men and women, but works acknowledged by the Holy Father of all. Love ministry has as its ingredients sleeplessness and nakedness. It is marked by voluntary and involuntary hunger, agonizing prayers and plea for mercy and forgiveness. In the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 6 to 10, it is marked by purity, it is marked by knowledge. Love ministry is marked by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, and by the word of power. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and by dishonor, by evil report and good report. As deceivers, and yet we are true. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, and behold we live. As chastened, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Anyone who does not want to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ in ministry should ask himself or herself, whom am I serving? Because people have turned the gospel to showmanship, I, me, and mine, in the words of Chapera, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, says the Apostle Paul, these will compel you to circumcise, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 verse 12. Whose end is destruction? Whose end is their belly? And who glory in their shame? And who set their mind on earthly things? Philippians 3:19. Yet the scripture exhorts us to endure. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Yes, and all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12 and 2 Timothy 3:12 and 13. So Amazing Love Assembly peculiarly is singled out by name and by calling to bear and manifest these characteristics. Failing to understand this is not to understand both the vision and the nature and the calling of the ministry we are involved in. And to a large extent, you will be a misfit in the ministry because you will not know why you are here. And how can you lead people when you don't know the way? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Brethren, these scriptures are not Christian mantra or chant. These are spiritual realities of epic proportion. They are physical consummation of eternal truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Love seeks to give, but not just any gift. It takes of its best and gives to the least deserving. That is why the giving or showing of love costs the giver everything. You cannot love with agape love and remain whole. Something goes. Part of you goes with your gift. Giving is expensive. You can understand the master as he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Self-abnegating is part of agape love. As Jesus said in John chapter 12 verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Self-preservation in agape love is erosionary and an anathema to the counsel of God. And that is part of the high cost of the love ministry. Because in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, the Lord had said, having crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Love ministry requires daily visit to the clinic of the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you are going to be involved in the love ministry, but you are going to preserve self, and you are not prepared to die, you are not prepared to be spoken evil of all, you are not prepared for people to misunderstand you, I'm afraid you are preaching another gospel and not the love ministry. In Luke chapter 9 verse 29, Jesus had said, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Love is the only acid test in measuring any professed Christian service or ministry. That love, the agape love we are talking about, is not cheap or frivolous. It has pains and chastisement. The risk of such love is the exact means of attaining to that image of Christ that Jesus spoke about. All things working together for good to them that love the Lord, to the end that we may be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Those brutal betrayals, humiliations, the pains of the nails of the cross are intended by the Father to conform us as his children. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible told us, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us. We pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of all spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained in it. We are called to reach the world by sharing the vision of God's amazing love, from where the Amazing Love Assembly gets its name. We have resolutely carried the burden for those who have drawn back from following the Lord on account of deep and sometimes devastating painful failures and trials of faith. God, whose love is steadfast and unceasing, as Jeremiah proclaimed. You know, what was amazing about Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 is that Jeremiah was looking at Jerusalem destroyed, looking at the temple ruined, looking at how the enemies of God's people have shattered and broken down the beautiful city of God and the people of God. And in the midst of that ruin, and in the midst of it, in the emptiness and the ashes, Jeremiah was seeing beyond the ruins and still said, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. I can affirm the central truth that whatever love cannot do, nothing else can, because God is love. On a personal note, as a result of the bishop's experience, my experiences over the years, I said, I have tasted the bitter pills of defeat, denigration, rejection of men, but out of the amazing love of God, I was restored to full humanity again. There is an undying love to share with millions who may have failed either in school, in business, marriage or childbearing, of how God's love can heal the brokenhearted. My experience in pastoring, my experience in marriage, my experience in the world of human survival have been tortuous, trying, and painful, to say the least. Yet, I have every cause to live and to carry out a task the loving Master Jesus has called me and placed in my empty hands. The amazing Lovites are a covenant people of God of all ages, ethnicity, and nationalities. They share the ministry's vision. At the inception of their assembly, the bishop entered into a covenant with God that rather than have a large growing but non-committed flock of people, God will plant true believers who will serve and expand God's kingdom no matter the cost. The terms of the covenant were one that is one. And just in case the Almighty may forget the English language, I told him to him in my dialect, Na Barana. Members whom heaven can account for. My brethren, what a high calling this is. Who can attain it? Only He, God, who has singularly and peculiarly called you by name, Amazing Love Assembly. Into this narrow pathway, the Lord in mercy called you and I. Who are two amazing Loveites? Is there any wonder our path these 23 years is littered with betrayals, ingratitude, and misconceptions, deep pain, yet we have unspeakable joys, inner serenity, assurance that what the builders have rejected have become the chief cornerstone. And this is marvelous in our eyes because it is the Lord's doing. Hallelujah! We have unshakable confidence that we are born of God, for God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's John 4, 8 and 9. We have irreversibly, irretrievably, irrevocably, and irrefutably put our hand to the plow, and there is no going back. Do I have witnesses? Do I have witnesses? Do I have witnesses? Do I have witnesses? There is no going back. We are following Him. And no matter what, in the words of one of our trustees and our deacons, no matter what the devil will say, Deacon Ayo, can you come and say it in your own way? Hallelujah. Thank you. So let me take that again. I said we have irreversibly, irretrievably, irrevocably, and irrefutably put our hand to the plow, and there is no going back. Hallelujah. We have put our neck to the yoke of the Master Jesus, and His rest is our portion. Agape love is not a matter of convenience or filiality. No, it's a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His light. You who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. We just went through 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 9, and we take verse 17 as the last now. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and belong all the honor and the power, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. I just read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to verse 11. Let us start by considering a few examples of our ministry's mandate and manifesto. The love we speak about owes nothing to self. It is not in the words of Chapera, I, me, and mine. Rather, it glories in the cross of Christ. God forbid that we should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If ever there was a monument for failure, if ever people will build stadia for those who have made mistakes, if ever people will build things to remember those who have not been very successful, undoubtedly, we shall be crowned the chief of it all. But through it all, we have been kept by the power of God and sustained by His mercy and grace. God remains a potter, and you and I are clay in His hands. Brethren, this treasure, this frail tabernacle of clay, is God's container. Therefore, all the glory, all the glory, must go to God. In Jesus' name. This is a testimony of amazing love, and this is where we bear it out from. And I call you to walk with me as I follow Him. There's no going back, but the high cost of the love ministry is what the ministry is all about. May the Lord continue to bless and prosper us the years ahead. He told us when we are celebrating our 17th anniversary that no matter what we are doing, we must remember to keep faith and date with the 25th anniversary. This is just a foretaste of it. In 2 years' time, we shall be celebrating that, but there will be one coming year to come, God willing. Somebody says, if the Lord tarries, He will tarry. He doesn't contradict Himself. We will have our 25th anniversary, but I am not sure how many more we shall have this way after that. God knows. But perhaps by the 25th anniversary, you may know many more things, and you will be able to become discerners of circumstances and time, and you may be able to see that the time for this world you and I is living in is up. And if you have not known Jesus, if you haven't given your life to Christ, if you have never met Him as your Lord and Savior, if you are just confusing churchianity with Christianity, your inside the church, but you are heading to hell. The worst thing that can happen to anybody, on that day you will come in with all your conga. And we are the most honorable. Because I have these days in the church. Oh yeah, church inabia and the church inabia mwe buluzo. And there are so many things going on today in the church. All you need is to buy a Bible so a native daughter can become now. Oh, what a Bible! He's now a deliverance minister. Mami, what a person! Oh, go to a Bible, deliverance. No problem again. And when they arrive in your village, they uproot every essential crop in your compound, making sure you remain in perpetual poverty. And yet, you will not come to the man who said, "If the Son of God shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." My friend, if you're here and you have not given your life to Christ, see, being a Christian is not something, my amazing love anniversary, so I'm a Christian. My parents were inside the church. Let me tell you, my father was the organist at the Anglican St. Bart's. I was born at the St. Bart's. That's where I was born. Maternity home there. So it's not a question of church. You see, if you understood that we are the original people, if you really know what it means to be a Roman Catholic, I attended St. Paul's Catholic Church at Ishiozola. So I was there in the Roman Catholic. About a question of Roman Catholic. No, you have to understand the issue of the covenantal matter of the baptistry issue. Oh, brother Baptist, I'm an ordained Baptist minister by the Baptist Church in Chicago, USA. Obra Baptist in Amen. Na kan gwa obu na emu anu na anyewa the original assembly ndi akwalafa. I grew up virtually in the house of the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God Nigeria. Obra Assemblies of God Nigeria. If a man who now not draw very evangelical, obu no the evangelical, una mana once you are into the evangelical of the evangelicals. I was a theological education secretary for Equa SIM Nigeria, chairman of the Board of Governors throughout this country. To be a Christian is to be born of the Spirit of God. The Bible said if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. It is when you have tested the power of the kingdom to come by giving your life to Christ, your sins are forgiven. The Bible said, I write this to you who believe that you may know that you have eternal life. You will know that you have eternal life. I'm going to give you that opportunity now. We are not preaching yet. Preliminaries. But I want to give you an opportunity if you are here. And you have not given your life to Christ. You heard our brother tell us, Elder Pius, they gave him the medicine. When they shoot you, you will not die. Thank God nobody shot you. Because these clever crooks, they have a way of always being right. Will a dead man get up? If they shot him and he died, and they go and ask the native doctor, the person you gave juju medicine, how come God killed him? He said, I told that man. I told him that anytime he's putting on this, he should not meet with his wife. Go and ask him before he died. Will you go and ask a dead man whether he met with his wife? Yeah. They're always winners, anyhow. And thank God you saw the one of accident. Told you will not die. Yet he was shaking like a leaf on the accident. And some of you here believe in Mpiampiachi. The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, they shall perish from under the earth. Any god, anything you are trusting, in an occult, cult, on the ago, not an occult, doing what a basis. Upon any people that look on to our nine, I see, in a flowing stream, surrender your life to Jesus right now, and then you will get to know. Some of you follow human ideologies. I don't want to mention names. Call it human philosophies all over the place. We're all Christians, but you know, we understand there are so many Vedas, there are so many avatars, there are so many. Listen to the word of God. For there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Why have witnesses? They bring in an amorphous syncretic religious harmony that has no basis. And yet the man of Galilee said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except through me. And you are brought in into a syncretic amalgamation, believing we are all roads are leading to Rome. All roads may lead to Rome, but all roads don't lead to the heaven of God. Only Jesus Christ is the way. Can somebody say amen to that? And so if you're here today and you haven't given your life to Christ, I want to give you opportunity to do so. If you're here, let's stand and bow our heads in prayer. I'm asking you to ask yourself, how much have you been a partaker of this love ministry? How much are you willing to pay the price so that others can grow on you and through you? It's just me and mine. All your concern in this world, if you remove your family, you are virtually useless to humanity. You don't have anybody. I'm asking you, if you're here and you have not given your life to Christ and you want to, may I suggest to you, wherever you are standing, wherever you are this day, just start coming over to meet me here. If you're here, I give you opportunity on this 23rd anniversary. What a glorious opportunity to make sure that Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and your Savior. Wherever you are, please come here. I want to pray with you. A prayer that will make Christ real to you. A prayer that will break the powers of darkness in your life. A prayer that will make you a covenant child of God forever. Wherever you are, please hurry up so that we can pray with you before we take the next item. God bless you as you are doing that. Wherever you are, I'm waiting for you as you are coming. And I want to be able to ask those of us who are there to ask ourselves, what is my portion? What is my share in this ministry of love? What is the cost that I'm willing to bear? What have I done for Jesus? What am I willing to sacrifice so that others can get to know him? You have divine opportunity at this hour to make peace with God. Just hurry to this place. It's not important. We don't do it private. There's nothing private about the kingdom of God. It's just public. Meanwhile, I'd like you, wherever you're standing, to ask God from this 23rd anniversary, if I'm a true amazing Lovite. Not every amazing Lovite is in our wall churches. In other words, we can't all fit into the building where Amazing Love meets. There are others who worship in other places. I acknowledge that. But they are Amazing Lovites. Ask God, how much am I willing to bear so that people can get to be reached for Jesus? How much sacrifice can I make? How much self-denial can I be put through? How much of my right can I give up? One of the things James, the brother of our Lord, said about the coming of the Lord is that when he will come, many people will have so much wealth in their account. And he said, dispatched wealth will be a testimony against them. Because this could have been used for better things, but they were stuck in it, hoping for whatever, because they couldn't read the times. Ask God to help you and to help me at this hour, that we may do what God wants us to. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, and I ask that even at this hour, that you may touch us with a touch from heaven, and that we who are the amazing Lovites, and those who are hearing us on air, wherever they are, O God, that the same conviction, the same leading shall be our portion. We thank you, Ancient of Days, for in Jesus' holy name we pray.
Welcome to the pulpit, the president of Amazing Love Ministries, our daddy, Bishop Amechi Nwajikuku, to share the word of the Lord with us.
Praise the Lord. But just like we said, we'll give some few examples of the love ministry. Just a brief encapsulation of the cost of the love ministry. I'm going to read two scriptures, and in reading them, we cannot afford to preach today. But just in reading them, you'll be able to see the indices of what we are talking about. You cannot love. It was Shakespeare in the Macbeth when actually it became obvious that it was Macbeth who killed Malcolm, the king. And he made a statement that finally gave him in. He said, who can love and hate at the same time? That's nobody. When I saw the chamberlains and how they killed the king, so I had to draw my sword, and I'm just paraphrasing those aspects of it and how he killed the chamberlains. And then Banquo and the rest of the others say, you killed them, so you say, well, I think the rest you can read in his book. But he started muttering. You cannot love without being involved. It's not possible. And that's why the devil counterfeits it. But genuine agape love is given. If something goes from you, you just can't share agape love without being something. And the first example and the second one, which we'll take in reading, is in Luke. One of them is our text. I'll take our text last. So let me just read the other one, then we shall, when we come to our text, we shall now read it. Luke chapter 15. I think in Luke chapter 15, it's not our text, so we just go ahead and read it. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11.
Luke 15 from verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood.
Two young men. One of them was, they all finished from their youth service, they all graduates. And one of them, after staying in the house for a while, told the father, hey, Popsy, yeah, I've been staying in the house along with you, you know. I like to check out and experience my world just as you did, Dad. You keep telling us testimonies of how you fought in the war, how you did that. I want to get out into the real world so that I can be real man. You know what I mean? And the father said to him, I know what you mean, it's just that you don't understand the issues. Anyway, the father obliged. The younger one, you know, usually sometimes, sometimes when you are a son and you've forgotten and claim that you have a son earlier than your father, they will always ask you, who was it that delivered you? You now have a son before your father. Who born you? So when you notice that in this case, this younger one said, can I have what goods that belong to me? Yes.
Verse 13. And not many days after.
Please go back to verse 12 to link up just the comment room. Yes.
Verse 12.
Yes.
And the younger of them said to his father.
The younger, yes.
Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.
I like you to share your inheritance. And father, give me those things. I know you have a land at Abuja. You have something in Port Harcourt. By the way, you have some shares. And I have it on sound authority that you have a large saving in CCB. Right. I can call a bank that's no longer in existence. I will not call any of these banks now. It's your bank. Man, I'm going to give my bank and one or so you have a large account, so share with me. Give me my portion. Write my check. And the father obliged him. Yes?
So he divided to them his livelihood.
The man divided the portion, the normal, gave the double portion to the first son, gave the other one, and divided that first giving, he divided everything equally. And listen to what this young Yopi did.
Verse 13. And not many days after.
Hey, not many days after.
The younger son gathered all together.
He told his son, he just, you know, with his phone. Hi, man, I'm just, where are you? You're like, you know now. In La Port. Hey, nah, my popsy, Ebu Mozuna, I see. You know, my popsy just wrote a check for me. 2M, man, cool. The other message is here. I'm on it now as I'm talking to you. Where are you? And the lease of the house he has in Abuja, he has given me power of attorney to it. Boy, I'm in money. If you see me, I'm smelling money. Where are you? Get those chicks. Meet me in Port Harcourt in a few days. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so he continued. Carry on, yes?
And not many days after.
Not many days after.
The younger son gathered all together.
The younger son gathered everything, yes.
Journeyed to a far country.
He said, listen, we're not going to waste time in Port Harcourt. Hey, tell your neighbor, are you here? You better listen. I have something to tell you right away. Now, my English. Some of you people said, this man didn't cross River Niger. I told you that person who traveled abroad, when they come back, they'll be saying, yeah, you got a gutter. Amechi will not say you got a gutter. Instead, his English was like, Ebana Wanku Bim. He said that I traveled, but I didn't fancy I got a gutter. It wasn't correct English. And even till tomorrow when I travel, like I do these days, When they start speaking that thing, but you went to school, and say, I went to school that time, I was hearing it better. But now, I don't understand what they are saying. And then, are you Bishop Machuku? Should you say, yeah, I'm Bishop Machuku. After that, it's impressive to know he now collected everything and said, let's check out the place where we can really spend it without any reference to anybody. So he traveled to a far country. Yes?
And not many days after.
Not many days after.
The younger son gathered all together.
Oh, yes.
Journeyed to a far country. And there wasted his possessions.
The word wasted is exactly what he said. He lived a prodigal life and spent all his resources. Yes?
And there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land.
Usually, there will always be an end. When you don't suffer to get wealth, the way you spend it, anybody observing you will know. If it's with a notion of business, the things you get from magumagu means, they will also take magumagu means to do what? To disappear. Yes?
But when he had spent all,
there
arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country.
Listen very carefully, yes?
And he sent him into his fields to feed swine.
A person, a story told by a Jewish rabbi, probably of a Jewish person, going to serve in a vineyard or in a herd's place, and the thing he is going to be feeding is swine. This is what you call the neptus ultra, the utmost violation of everything that the Jew will appreciate. Yes?
Verse 16.
Yes?
And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods.
He could have gladly filled his stomach
with the pods that the swine ate.
With whatever the pigs. I hope you know what I mean. Niezi. Mbe mado dendo. Yana ezi. Na zonni. Akuno watalebo nyano. Are you there? When a human being is struggling to eat the leftover with pigs, you can understand the level of denigration. Yes?
And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. Verse 17.
Omeko onicha, mana ife luriaka. I told me queer as the way Pastor Chris taught me, because I think with Accra being a capital of a state today, it's very difficult to come and tell somebody Omeko onicha, okay, luaka, which means naoka, mwekodi. I don't want to say that thing proverb he taught me, that somebody is acting as though he's from Onisha. Yet even Belente Oka, you know, rich. That's a way that proverb used to work better in his mouth, but I don't want to repeat it now because of the implication. Yes, yes.
And he would gladly have filled his stomach.
He would have gladly filled his stomach
with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare?"
Notice a thought came to him. He came back to his senses. Yes.
How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?
And then our story begins.
I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son."
That's right.
"Make me like one of your hired servants." Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Brethren, the high cost of love ministry. A young man who told you that you were no good, that you didn't know anything. And somebody who broke away from under your canopy. And somebody who just ran off, dismissing you, hoping to hit it big. But now hit rough weathers, was broken, came back, and instead of reminding him all his sins, the Father still helped to restore this person back again. That is the high cost of the love ministry. You never put it to the person because you know, but for the grace of God, the roles could be reversed and you always want mercy from God. Yes, please.
Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
That's right.
Verse 21.
Father kissed him. Why kiss him? Does he deserve it? Yeah, he does. You and I don't deserve anything but judgment. Anything we get is purely on the mercy of God. If you don't feel the need of God's mercy, because you are a hypocritical, self-righteous, selective righteous person, Pharisee. But if you really know the depth of our rottenness and the perfection of God's word that all have seen and come short of the glory of God, then you will know that we exist only because of Calvary, by grace and by mercy. Yes, please.
Verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet.
Verse 27.
And he said to him,
you can read from verse 25 now.
Verse 25. Now his older son was in the field.
Yes.
And as he came and drew near to the house.
This side was like any one of us who will come back. Yes.
He heard music and dancing.
He was hearing music and dancing. He called one of the servants. Yes.
So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant.
What's all this? Say yes.
And he said to him.
He said, hey, come. What's going on? What's Popsy celebrating? You know that your brother... the one we went through, you don't come back. Oh. Now he make your father they celebrate. Say, with my brother. I said that one, and we carry everything where your papa get, we run away. You don't come back. Now he make your papa they celebrate. Even that big cow where we keep, we don't kill him. You don't go call all the people where sing, say, make them come. Now today, now say, now nothing but a bad way we there inside. Hallelujah. Yes, please.
Verse 27.
Uh-huh.
And he said to him, your brother has come.
Yeah.
And because he has received him safe and sound.
That's right.
Your father has killed the fatted calf.
Hey.
But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him.
Again, notice the high cost of the love ministry. This elder son, who righteously had reason to be angry, if you are bearing the verse of love, you must also know that sometimes when you extend your hand to welcome some sinners, in quotes, because you are a sinner, some of your compatriots may not like it, and that they are not liking it is in order, because they look at the issues, it is still left to you to make sure you bring them in so that they can understand. Brother, understand, I'm not being stupid, nor am I cheapening the grace of God. But I'm saying in the high cost of the love ministry, but the righteous and the unrighteous, all of us before God, are product of God's mercy. Yes, please.
But he was angry and would not go in.
Yeah.
Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Verse 29.
The father came and pleaded with him. Well, what is he pleading with him about? But it because of the high cost of the love ministry. That's a price tag. But to those who are staying in the home who did nothing, those who went off, this man, if you are bearing this cost, if you are going to go in the ministry, I do not want to weary you with the story of Zacchaeus. Neither do I want to weary you with what the Pharisees said about Jesus, that this man dines with sinners and eats with them. But such is the cost of the love ministry. Yes, please.
Verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you.
I've been with you all these years.
I never transgressed your commandments.
I never did anything bad. Anything you ask me to do, I do it.
At any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat.
And there was not even a time, even nobody chicken and getting your name coming at my friends celebrate.
That I might make merry with my friends.
Nothing.
Verse 30.
Touch your neighbors. Yeah, are you hearing this thing? Are you an elder son? Are you the smaller son? Whatever is your answer, I want to give you a rhema now. You are both. Find out about inside you. Yes,
Ngane. Verse 30.
Yes.
But as soon as this son of yours came.
As soon as this son of yours came.
Who has devoured your livelihood with harlots.
Took your money and wasted it with harlots.
You killed the fatted calf for him.
That fatted calf I was hoping I would use for my wedding. You went and killed it for this animal, my brother who came back. But if I had no fear, I like Romeo.
Verse 31.
Yes.
And he said to him, son.
He said to him, son.
You are always with me.
You are always with me.
And all that I have is yours.
What I have is yours. Nigalo, and you were okay. It's not because of your power. It's only by grace. And if you have known grace and forgiveness, you should learn to communicate sin to other people. Amen. Yes, please.
Verse 32. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again.
Hallelujah.
And was lost and is found.
Praise the Lord. That is the high cost of the love ministry. Please, you stand with me as we read our text. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25 to verse 27. The high cost of love ministry. The high cost of love ministry.
Luke chapter 10 from verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying,
O when wo fu onye ka iba anwa nke bia no ndi na ndi lawyer ndi na alogari okwu kpodi esinani. Yes.
Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Kedi ife nge me kan we keta na eze nke Chineke.
He said to him,
Owesia,
what is written in the law?
Kedife de na akwụkwọ nsọ.
What is your reading of it?
Keke isi agụ ya.
Verse 27.
Amaokwu nke iri abụọ na asaa.
So he answered and said,
Owesia yasi,
you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind.
Ị ga-afụ Chineke gị n'anya, ike gị niile, ume gị niile, obi gị niile, ife niile ị nwere, ị ga-eji wee fụ Chineke gị n'anya.
And your neighbor as yourself.
Onye agbata obi gị, ị ga-afụkwa onye anya, ị ga-afụ onye dị otu a n'anya otu isi wee fụ onwe gị. Yes.
Verse 28.
Yes.
And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.
Oweza Jesus wese an izala ofuma je me nka I ga enwe ndu.
But he, wanting to justify himself,
am I going to an agwa gi ko we egosi na ifia na aza. What I'm asking, you know, it doesn't concern me. I am beyond all these requirements. Trying to justify himself. And there are some of you here, you think that by justifying yourself, that when you win an argument, you have won a case with God. You may be argumentatively right, but you are spiritually bankrupt. You may be involved in debate and issues of life. And as far as you are concerned, you have your facts and figures. But before God, you may just be a rotten egg. It's an opportunity to get back to Calvary and ask the Lord for healing. Yes, please.
But he, wanting to justify himself,
said to Jesus,
and who is my neighbor?
Who is my neighbor?
Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho.
And if you know those terrains, those of you who have been visiting Israel, you know how dangerous it was in those days. You can even see the rough terrains even today. Yes.
A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho.
From Jerusalem to Jericho.
And fell among thieves. Who stripped him of his clothing.
I want you to notice what Jesus told him. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and as he was going, armed robbers, armed bandits hit him, collected everything he had, and left him for half dead. Then, one of the few second times that this word is used in the Bible by chance, the other one is in Ecclesiastes. Yes? But the only time it is used in the New Testament here. Yes?
Verse 31. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road.
A certain holy man. Onye di nsọ. A what? Priest. Unu ya funia onaga. Nsọ nsọ kachineke di. Nsọ nsọ. Nsọ nsọ.
holy. A holy priest came. And then he saw the man whom thieves have were laid and stolen their things. And I'm sure as the man opened his dying eye and saw the priest, oh, thank God, help is coming at last. Gezient if amen, listen.
Now by chance a certain priest came down.
By chance a certain priest came.
And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Hey. Ewo, nah. Mba unde afromo. God forbid bad thing. So he passed by the other side. And the man was just lying here. The man was on the priest took the other side. He was going to conduct church service. So he may be going late. Obviously he was a Roman Catholic, an Anglican, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Baptist, Equa. He was an Assemblies of God minister. Any church that you are hearing me that you come from, that priest was your minister, including Amazing Love.
Likewise, a Levite,
now those who help in service of the Lord, that is choir, usher, intercessor, ahincha. When he was coming, he did something the priest didn't do. Yes.
Likewise,
a Levite,
when he arrived at the place, came and looked.
He came down. Hey, now human beings are wicked, though. See how they just hit this man. And the man lying down, saying, "No man can." Oh, fetching even yourself. It's a pity. Human beings are wicked. Please help me. Oh, see what they have done to this man. He can't even talk. He's begging me for help. Anyway, I'm holding the key to the vestry. So he went off. Yes?
He passed by on the other side. Verse 33.
Yes?
But a certain Samaritan.
Now listen carefully. The high cost of the love ministry. A certain Samaritan. If you go to Kings and Chronicles, you notice that the Samaritans were the half-bred Jews that during the time of Tiglath-Pileser and Shalmaneser the Fifth, when the Jewish nation was depopulated, they brought in people to take over the city of Samaria. And that half-breeding of both Jews and these Assyrians, the Jews never had anything to do with them. John chapter 4 verse 9. They hated them. They didn't like them. Now, a certain Samaritan, somebody at the time that Jesus was having controversy with the Jews, if you wanted to abuse somebody and tell him and finish him, say, I think I don't know you. You are a Samaritan. They told Jesus in John chapter 8, after all, you are a Samaritan. You know, so a certain Samaritan, somebody that didn't have societal acceptance, somebody that didn't meet all the indices of culture, was passing by. You notice that he knew the cost of the Christian ministry, the love ministry, and he was prepared to pay it. See what he did.
But a certain Samaritan,
as he journeyed,
came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion.
Perhaps the others could have said, I remember one time I was taking the children to school many years ago. They were at a Kulu primary. There was a cop somewhere along that express road. I drove to CPS to tell them there was a cop there. That it's already getting bloated and I didn't like the idea. It's in line there. I said, I got a friend. Because can you enter the statement here? I said, which statement? The statement that what have been there, everybody have been seen it. Okay, there's a statement. You saw it. Can do this morning. You people saw the wrong person. So I can imagine what the Samaritan could have felt. And can imagine the difficulty of policing anywhere in this world. And you are caught with that man beaten in that lonely road. And you say you don't know anything about it. Well, We know you don't know anything about it. When you reach the station, you will explain better. Okay? Just follow us. Make we reach the station. We are not saying you are the one that did it, but just follow us. Listen to the other thing that happened. Yes?
So he went to him.
He went with him.
And bandaged his wounds.
Bandaged his wound. He took the risk of being called an accomplice. Of even being detained for what he didn't know anything about. Yes?
Pouring on oil and wine.
He now gave the first aid.
And he set him on his own animal.
Put him on his own animal.
Brought him to an inn.
Took him on his own car. Now when the man put his animal, put this man on his animal, where was he? He was trekking. The high cost of love ministry. When they got this wounded man and put him, then he was trekking, helping somebody he never knew to a place he will receive help. My friend, there is a price tag to Christian ministry. All this wishy-washy, catch it, receive it. You are just deceiving yourself. And it will be very clear very soon to anybody that if you are not prepared to carry your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then you cannot be his disciple. Yes, please.
He set him on his own animal.
Set him on his own animal.
Brought him to an inn.
Brought him to an inn.
And took care of him.
Jesus was born in an inn. There was no room for him in the inn. He went into the manger. So you understand, it's like a lodging place. And kept him there.
Verse 35.
Yes.
On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. Gave them to the innkeeper.
Took out 2 denarii. A denarii was a day's job. If you work for 8 hours, what you may make in a day in those days was a denarii. Yes?
He took out 2 denarii.
And so he took 2 days' job of whatever level that he was.
Gave them to the innkeeper.
And gave it to the innkeeper. Divide your salary by 15. Or divide your salary by 20. If you divide it by 20, you take about a denarii. Almost giving you an idea of what it was. If you divide it and you take 2 of it, you can begin to see you are taking about 1/10 of it, of your salary. Because nobody works 30 days anywhere in the world. And so he gave that, yes?
And said to him,
take care of him. Take care of this man.
And whatever more you spend.
Whatever else that you need, a man you don't know, a woman you don't know, you are paying for their GCE, you are paying for their jam, you are taking care of their responsibilities in hospital. You are making sure that their maternity bill is paid. Some of us are too selfish for God to get us into what he has called us to be. Me and mine. Me and mine. They remove your family members in all your expenditures. I don't think even God sees your tithe complete. Some of you can't even pay complete tithe. It's too much for God. Yes, please.
And take care of him.
And take care of him.
Whatever more you spend.
Whatever more you spend.
When I come again, I will repay you.
I will repay you.
Verse 36.
That's right.
So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?
Of course, he couldn't call the Samaritan. It was too much for him. See what he said.
And he said, he who showed mercy on him.
Well, whatever is his name, whatever you called him, but I guess he's the one who showed mercy. He couldn't now mention the Samaritan. And that's why there's the high cost. As some of these people see you practice Christianity, by your act of practice, you are judging them. And the natural thing is that they will attack you, they will hate you, they will scandalize you. But I want you to hang in there, because the master is going to tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, very soon. Continue the good work you are doing. There is a future and a reward. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, that at 23, you are still calling us to higher ground. And who is sufficient for these things? None but you alone. Teach us to do your will, O God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
us again same time next week on Living Springtime. We invite you to worship with us at the Praise Temple of Amazing Love Assembly, Transekulu, Enugu, on Sunday by 8:30 a.m., Monday Prayer Power by 5 p.m., Wednesday Holy Convocation by 12 noon, Wednesday Bible Study by 5 p.m., and Friday Night Vigil by 12 midnight. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.